Very introspective, very thoughtful person.
Yeah, I got to know him. I network with him. Like I reached out to him on co-LinkedIn a few years ago because I was trying to understand the gaming industry, and his profile came up. And then subsequently, he has been very helpful towards sharing his knowledge and also allowing me to bring some of my clients and some of my students to visit his studio. So I really like how he was so grounded. It's so hard. I mean, maybe I'm stereotyping. I think in the entertainment game industry, it's always very creative and things like that. But I come across as someone really grounded and, like you're saying, very introspective.
I really liked so many things that he said, but I do put a little asterisk next to danger happens when we become too comfortable, something he said later, but he said so many other great things as well. But and don't expect that the company you work for is like your family and that they're going to look after you, because that's very, it's not so likely these days. So, and don't become too comfortable. And he's always thinking about the next thing, but he's not jumping into it like you'd said to him. It was like, he's planning, and in fact, planning 2 years ahead, just really thinking ahead to the possibilities there. Yeah, but I also love the fact that, coming from a traditional government Indian family and having such a different type of career than perhaps others expected for him, and the variety of things that he's done in the entertainment and gaming and education space. It's that was great to hear.
Yes,
What did you
indeed.
like about what he said?
I think when we asked him what he learned in his life, I think he mentioned a couple of things like okay with failure, okay with having a thicker skin, okay with people judging you. I mean, I think in the world of so many people talking at the same time, it's really hard to not let that come interfere. And he also admit that, right? Because we are still know that we are human, and he has certain coping mechanism to know how can he still be honest with himself and then still at the same time taking feedback. So there was a really good balance between following his own dreams, his passion, doing the things that he likes, and getting the realistic feedback. And he knows how to filter this feedback as well. It's not taking it all, but taking it those that make sense and that is helpful for him. To me, that is really impressive. I think that takes I do not know how long did it take him to master, but if I were to envision it for myself, it probably take quite a long time for me to be able to do that balancing.
Yeah, and that he would just try things like, the sports or working in films, producing films, directing films, like just get in there and give it a go and learn as you go along, and the failures, maybe the mistakes. The first few films were not very good, but didn't let that discourage him. He was learning along the way, and he even said that his mindset is so important. It's not about any particular decision, but just having that learner mindset has taken him so far, and it was very impressive to hear, because how many people want to be really good at what they do, and are not willing to make those mistakes or give something a go.
Indeed, indeed. I'm very fortunate and very honored that each time in our season with different speakers, I'm always inspired, and I believe our audience will be equally inspired in this season, in this episode with Rahul. So perhaps it's time to jump into the real conversation. A very good day to everyone. Thank you for joining us on our Season 5, Episode 6 APCDA podcast. And today we have with us Rahul. And this gentleman that I come across was really very interesting, and I really admire his career journey because he has done so much, whether is it for the community or how he constantly upskill and improve himself and to where he is right now. So Rahul is the founder and creative director of Vertical Slice Games Media. Vertical Slice is a boutique game development and immersive experiences studio. Really exciting. It's a very interesting sector, I would say, because most of us wouldn't go into game design, and he has been in this sector for so many years. So welcome, Rahul. Yeah, so I just gave a very brief introduction about yourself, and I don't think that might do you justice. Would you take the next couple of minutes to share with us about what you do, what problems do you solve, and what is currently you are embarking right now?
Yeah, so I've been in the entertainment industry for about 20 years now. I've worked across games, films, immersive media like VR, XR, and I've also worked in education, so it's been quite a big journey across these different mediums. Through all of it, the idea always has been to create something from scratch, create something from nothing. And I think that's been always the motivation to build things. I've worked in mobile games, I've worked in PC games, recently I've worked in arcade games, I've also worked in education games and worked on IPs, which are quite famous across the world. I think currently, like what you said, I started my own company, about a couple of years ago, and now I'm full-time working for my own company and looking to grow it bit by bit. And it's a very interesting space we are in because what we are doing is we are leveraging on our background, which is from games, but we are using game technology and game design in different fields, For example, we are using it in outdoor entertainment. We are using it in education. We are using it in digital twins. We are also using it in certain immersive media, which is still growing, globally. So we are at that space right now. It is something that I had bootstrapped. We didn't want to go through the venture path. And it's been a very interesting journey.
Thank you, Rahul. I think it's really interesting to be speaking to a game designer and game developer like yourself, whereby you are transforming various sectors like education. How can you put fun back into learning? So I'm really curious if you were to share with us a little bit more about who you are as a person, deep down, what fascinates you, what drives you to where you are today. I mean, we definitely want to hear it from you.
So I think for me, definitely, I mean, I'm someone who never likes just following something for the sake of following something. I think, maybe that's one of the reasons I didn't enjoy my studies in school a lot, because it was always like you have to learn specific subjects. But contrary to that, I really enjoyed my studies in university because I got to pick what I want to study, and that's where I learned about media, design, arts. I come from quite a traditional conservative family. Everyone has government jobs, So it was a very different leap for me to go into the game industry. And I think even when I got into the game industry in 2006, there was a lot of naysayers. But even at that young age, I still remember I told myself that I'm getting into an industry which is quite new and quite niche. So if I do well here, the chances of me standing out are going to be way more than getting into an industry which, let's say, is very popular, but I'm not very good at, So I still had that kind of sensibility even at like 22, 23, that, okay, I need to kind of do something that I really like. And I think a lot of my formative years spent in the university really helped because I was doing projects that I really liked. And it's the first time I realized that you can do things you like and, that can become work too, right? I think I always try to question a style of working which might be too mundane or authoritarian. And that's why maybe I'm in the entertainment industry because I need to do projects which really feel meaningful. I cannot do a job where I can just go in 9 to 5 and, end of the day, forget about things and come back home. At the same time, I can't do a job where we are just trying to make money. That also feels very empty. So I think for me, what is really important is like, what I found is that I'm at my best when I'm creating something or I'm sharing knowledge, And I think deep down, that's what I like to do. I like to create things. I like to create things, especially with younger teams. But I also like to share that knowledge. And I like to build products that seem to be quite hard to build. I think over a lot of trial and error, I'm not someone who's very afraid of failure. Like I've had a lot of failures, here and there. But I also believe that if I didn't have those failures, I wouldn't succeed, So in my career, like every success I've had is kind of like, a reflection of some failures that I've had to. I think from a deep down perspective, I do like to work with a lot of people who are excited about their work, who have that kind of energy where you're going marching towards the same thing. I have a sports background too. So I try to implement some of that sports background into the way we work, because when you work, when you play sports or when you do sports, you can't think about yourself. You have to really think about, your team, and you have to kind of work as a team. And surprisingly, although I have my own company, I'm very anti-corporate in many ways, I don't like typical corporate settings where you have to come in, like just work, be near the computer. As you know, I travel quite a bit for R&D, and a lot of the ideas I get is by traveling. And this is not to paint a picture that why I travel because I always have funds, I always have, money. I used to spend money even when I was poor on R&D, because I always have this thing that if you kind of are calculative and you spend the right amount, it will bring you back the amount later in your future. So learning is a very big part. Learning from globally what's happening is a very big part too. And I think that's where I come from. I still like to build things from a approach of play. And I like to create things without having to worry about getting it right all the time.
Thank you, thank you. And I'm also very curious. You mentioned that you started getting into gaming industry in 2006, and there was a lot of naysayer. I'm curious. Then, how did you get started in your career with seems like very little support
It's
and
actually,
and such a niche environment, right?
it's actually many things, and I think we can never underestimate the value that luck plays also. I can give a very good story about many things, but there is always an element of luck too. So firstly, I think when I graduated from my university, I spent about 9 months without getting any jobs. Like I applied to various advertising agencies, media houses, and like I used to get interviews and I used to get internships, but I should not get any like full-time jobs, right? So at that point of time, what started happening was because I had time in my hand and I used to stay in a hostel. I said that, okay, let me start playing games again, because I used to play it as a hobby growing up. And let me start studying about games just as an interest. I never had this idea that I want to get into games. So I started playing games. And I still remember I would play a game and then I would go to a nearby cyber cafe, because back then cyber cafes was a big thing. And I would read up on the game and I would read up on, how did they design the AI of the game? What did they do from a game designer's point of view? So it started becoming very interesting to me that, oh, there are people who create this thing and, there's this technology that happens. So I just started experimenting on my own. And about like 1 year past that, I actually, there was a one of my friends, he was already working in a company. It was a media company. And they were having this kind of a corporate sports competition against another company, which was a gaming company. And he told me that, would you like to come and watch it? So I said, yeah, sure. I have nothing to do. I was unemployed, like I'll just go and watch it. And while I was watching it, I got to know people from that other company who's the game company. And I was like, hey, I'm looking for a job. Would you, have something? And they said, yeah, we have something for a junior game designer. And can you bring in your portfolio, what you did from your university? So the point here is you have to be resourceful, right? And you have to put yourself out there, which a lot of people don't do. Like things don't fall on your lap. While, yeah, there's luck, but you have to kind of, take that luck as an opportunity too. So yeah, then the next thing I knew that I had a, I had an interview on Monday. I had a job offer on Tuesday, and on Wednesday I was in that office. But I still remember the first day when I went into the game company. The company's name was Moj Telecoms, a really great company. I was very lucky to have my staff. They're really great mentors. I just had a feeling as soon as I stepped into the company that I'll fit in there, because there were so many creative people there. There were so many technical people there. It felt right. And I think even then, for example, my salary was very low even back then, based on those standards. It wasn't the same kind of salary that engineers or, other students from India were getting. So of course, like from an Indian family, you'll always get like, why is your salary so low? And also, I think I have always had a thick skin. These things don't bother me. I didn't care about it. I was just happy doing what I'm doing. And I still have that philosophy that do it for the love of the craft and the other things will follow, So I think then when I worked in games for the first year, 2 years, then people internally in the game company started telling me that, hey, you are good at this, you're good at that. So that also grew my confidence that, okay, I can be good at something. I'm getting this peer recognition from seniors in my team. They're giving me tougher projects. And around 2009, I felt like I need to get out of India because the game industry wasn't really evolving there. I wanted to work on 3D. So that's where I started looking at Singapore, Malaysia, Japan as things. I really applied nonstop for 6 to 8 months, in different companies, did different interviews, and then finally landed up in Singapore in 2009. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Now, I'd love to hear a bit about who you were as a child. You said you're from a traditional family. You went and studied mass media, so that's not so traditional. I'd like to hear, what you were as a child, what your family was like, and what you thought you might do when you were younger.
So, in a way, I was a very lucky child. I would say my family is quite well to do. So my dad, he was a banker, and we moved around quite a bit. So my formative years were spent abroad too. We went Lagos, Nigeria for quite some time, for 5 to 6 years. Then we moved around Europe quite a bit too. We had a lot of holidays. So quite like it's not a sob story that came from nothing, and was always well looked after. But because my dad was like he worked for the biggest government bank in India, which is State Bank of India. So, and like I said, a lot of government jobs, right? So what was drilled in our head as kids is you have to get government jobs. You have to get these exams, like in India they are like IAS exams and or bank exams. So as a kid, always like the idea was that even as young as 10, my parents would say that, oh, you'll become an engineer, or you'll become a IAS officer. But the problem was I was really terrible at my studies. If I get C grades, it was considered a good thing. And I spent a lot of time playing with toys, and I spent a lot of time watching movies, and I could get lost in that world, right, of entertainment. I really felt I never thought that there's a career in that. I was just playing it. To the point where a lot of kids, even when they go to secondary school, they stop playing with toys. They stop, watching like let's say different kind of movies. But I didn't stop that. I continued that, all the way till my university. I still do that. So it was essentially where I felt that I had, I found a lot of joy in kind of just creating my own bubble, playing with things like playing with Lego sets. And playing some games and learning about it. And when I was in school, I always used to look forward to things like literature and history, the unpopular topics, because I used to kind of see the world come alive there. And as I grew up, I think one thing that really helped me around my secondary school, because I was a shy kid, I started getting to sports and I started playing sports, and I got quite serious about it, playing soccer, playing different kind of just trying out different sports, even if I was bad at it, so what then happened is even the camaraderie with different teams, and I would play till the evenings, till late, nights. I started watching a lot of sports, and that got me interested in things like martial arts. I started taking up martial arts. I still do jiu-jitsu. I'm 43 right now. There was a lot of formative years where formative ideas were formed. And also, I think, I think there was a big transition for me where around university or like, because in India, things are very competitive, like in Asia. So my results were never good in whether it's higher secondary or, A levels or, university results. Like, at most, I would get a B, and that would be considered good. And I think what I started noticing was that in India, a lot of people put their self-worth based on their grades. So in my head, I actually went through a few incidents in life where I thought that, and even at 18 or 19, I was like, okay, I'll never let my self-worth be decided by others. So I'll just do what I feel happy with. And back then I decided that no matter how comfortable my life is, by 25 or 25, I want to move out of my home, and I want to go abroad and I want to live on my own and figure things out. So I was very strong about my opinions and what I want to do. I didn't know how I'll do it, but I had that persistence. And I think the persistence again I had because of sports. Because in sports you don't have a good day every day. You have really bad days. And you can either decide to quit or you can decide to keep playing that, right? So I think even when I used to get rejections, from jobs or rejections from opportunities, I would just go like, okay, why am I getting rejected? And I would go back and change something in my CV or change something in my portfolio or read up something and change something and send it back again. So it almost became like the process became very interesting to me, right? And something funny, I feel like a lot of things in my childhood and all still carry over. A lot of my interests are similar. I'm still very active in sports. I still like to create things. I'm still a bit like informal the way I kind of, even conduct my business. And I think those things have paid dividend, to me in my life. Like I have rarely taken the traditional route.
Yeah, which I think is what interests us about you. And so I really like some of the things you were talking about, like doing things you like and finding joy in those things. And really what you were evidencing early is around having a growth mindset, like trying things even if you weren't so good at it in the beginning, but with effort. You followed through and improved and pivoted and changed and adapted, so showing resilience as well.
Yeah, well, there are three incidents that come to mind that really changed my life, and it's really stuck with me. And that happened at very early childhood. And that's why you can call it like, bad luck. Just, you can call it even like destiny, right? So the first incident was that my mother passed away when I was very young, about 8, 17, right? So when your mom passes away at that age, like all of a sudden the world changes for you. You are kind of very lost, and we were very close. So at that stage of time, you're trying to figure out a lot of things. You have to grow up very fast, secondly, I took up engineering as my first choice in university before taking media and design. And I flunked out in 6 months, And that was like right after my mom passed away. So it's like one thing after another, And I still remember when that happened because my grades before entering engineering was quite good. And I just struggled in engineering. And I remember sitting in class and thinking that even if I pass through this course, I'll be the worst engineer in the world, Do I really want to be that, right? But what I realized was when I flunked out of engineering, a lot of people, even from my family and a lot of like people, they counted me out. In India, it's a very judgmental society. So everyone was like, oh, you have screwed up your future, and everything. So I had like 1 year to kind of deal with all that negative backlash, and everything, and kind of go like, okay, I'm just gonna go and do media and design and everything. So why that's a sticking point was because that got me thinking that does that external validation really matter? Like, 1 year ago they were saying that, oh, like I'm this great student and I'm this great son and all. And 1 year later, just because of my results, it's kind of flipped. So it kind of made me go like, I don't want to be someone known for what I achieve. I want to be known for like, how people feel around me. And I think the last pivotal thing was my university instructor, head of department, his name is Sudhakar Solomon Raj, and he has played an instrumental part in my life. I mean, he ripped me apart all the time. He ripped out my projects, scolded me, but I'm so thankful to him because he's the first person who made me realize that learning can be fun, Are you enjoying things? He made me strive for standards that were impossible to achieve, And I think, I'm still in touch with him. He's still as weird as ever. But if I didn't have a little bit of that tough love where someone expects a lot of me, but it's still really hard, I think I would have shaped in a very different way. So these three incidents really played a very pivotal part.
I want to
Thank you
find
for
out
sharing.
about when, can I find out about your film directing? How did you take that direction?
Yeah, so it's interesting because again, university, as you have a roommate, we used to always talk about like someday we'll direct some films together. And around 2014 or 15, maybe around that time, I was teaching in Singapore in games, and to Japan, and before that a little bit at Singapore Poly. And I started noticing that a lot of educators, when they get into education, they look at it as a retirement job, or they get very comfortable and they stop doing things, that really grow them. And I felt like, again, I've been pretty good at looking at the future. So I felt like if I go down that route, I'll just be stuck and I'll be out of touch with what goes on. So I said, like, okay, we always had this dream, and I always have this philosophy that I don't want to be 80 and look back and, I don't mind failing, but I don't want to look back and say that I didn't try the things that, I wanted to try. So my friend, a very close friend, Shitij, he works in the film industry, and I message him and I'm like, do you think we could do something, Let's just make something small. That's always the idea. Like, we always start small, And one thing led to another, and next thing, I'm in Mumbai, we are doing set recce, and we started directing films. The first film we directed was a short film. It was terrible because we didn't know better, Now when I look back at it, but we got to work with professional director of photography. We got to work with, professional team members, and then gradually we started like directing, two short films every other year, and we started getting better at a craft. It's again a learning journey, till the point where in 2020, just before COVID, we had an entire set of about 35 to 40 people, professionals, with high-end camera rigs, really deep, pilot filmmaking, and we really got good at that, right? That had very different challenges because that was my first step into entrepreneurship, I had to make sure the budgets were there, I had to make sure that I hire the right people, I had to make sure that how I conduct myself on set and how I expect other leads to conduct themselves on set, in a very different culture in India. That's also something that's communicated with, right? I have to make sure that whether it's success or failure, I'm the one who's responsible at the end of the day. So I think a lot of that process also kind of ties into what I'm doing now. But that's also where I started bringing in game technology to films. We realized that storyboarding wasn't working for us. So we started doing 3D modeling of our sets before we would build sets, to kind of go like, oh, how much would it cost to make this set? How would our cameras be panning, And again, that was an entire learning process. I think that's where I first started getting confident as a director and what it means to manage a set, and what it means to also manage some really like, different kind of personalities. You have actors who want to give their best. You have a director of photography who wants to have the best, cinematography. You work with a sound designer who has their own motivations, right? So again, it was a very big learning process, but by the time we were doing it like every year, we got very confident to the point where we were even talking to Netflix, and they were like, hey, how did you get that production value at such a small budget, And I think that again gave us a lot of confidence. Unfortunately, we didn't continue beyond COVID because of challenges after that. But there's a lot of things that I learned both on entrepreneurship and managing a team from a company point of view through film direction.
There's a lot of change taking place in your entire journey. And I'm curious, what is the most important career decision that you have taken to date?
I think it's not one career decision. I'll tell you a mindset. I think the mindset that I always have is, if I feel in a career, no matter how comfortable it is, that I'm not growing, I'm not happy, I'm not like, you won't be happy going in, day out. That's never the case, right? But in general, I'm not happy. I feel like, there's not a sense of pride in what I'm doing, some principles are being compromised. I start planning to move out, it's not about, the money that the company gives me, the bonuses, or how comfortable I am. And that's something that's always been an anchor for me to moving on, because people can get stuck in spaces, people can get stuck because of comfort. And I feel like I'm very okay with not knowing things, like where will things lead, I'm very okay with like, oh, whether this will work or not, I don't know, but I'm gonna try it out, right? I think last year, before I went full time into Vertical Slice and really bootstrapped the whole thing, got my own visa, in Singapore, which is a very hard thing, as you know. I was in San Francisco doing some R&D, and there was this moment where, it sounds very movie-like, where I was at Fisherman's Wharf and I was looking at the Golden Bridge. And I had this moment where I'm like, okay, I'm doing these really cool projects, but I still feel empty inside and I feel like time is ticking, because I always had this dream of building something of my own. And I feel like I'm rationalizing, giving myself excuses that do it next year, do it next year, do it next year. Maybe my visa won't be approved in Singapore. Maybe Singapore is very expensive, so I can't start a company there. So I had this really a self-reflection moment there where I'm like, okay, I'm getting my career is stable, I'm getting decent money, I'm getting to work in decent projects, but I still feel like I'm a bit of stuck in that corporate glass ceiling. And I feel at that point I decided that I'm gonna work for 6 more months to finish some projects out of commitment, and I'm gonna just like come what may, I'm gonna start Vertical Slice 100%. So it's the point is that it's decisions like that you make. They are never, it's not decisions like, oh, I'm just going to move abroad. I think that was also a big decision, of course. But a lot of decisions are like decisions which stick with you for 6 months, for 8 months. And then, it kind of grows. And then you have to start kind of going like, oh, do I keep listening to it? Or do am I still scared to do these things, right? And I think those have been like the bigger decisions in my career across, right? Even like the filmmaking thing, I could have easily said, why am I spending money on filmmaking? I could save all that money, for a down payment on a house, and I lost a lot of money on that, But the point is that I became a better creative by doing that, for which people pay me now, and they're like, oh, your filmmaking background is helping us in this art installation, right? So I think it's sometimes it's those decisions which are more critical about where you take the leap and where you know that the net is going to appear.
I understand. Thanks for sharing. I mean, it is. I was really just digesting what you say instead of like just one decision. It's really that decision that has been brewing. Like you have been thinking about it for some time, and then it kind of challenges you to make a choice, right? Make a decision. Very interesting. And maybe at this note, would you be able to share with us what would be, something that you have learned in life that has carried you so far?
I think you have to be, you have to be okay with failure. You have to have a thick skin. You have to be okay with people judging you. You have to be okay with mean online comments. That's not the end of the world. I mean, in a world where there's a lot of care taken and everything, but you're not always gonna hear good things, about yourself or about your path. You are gonna have a lot of people who are very close to you, in all, fairness and through good gestures, telling you that don't do this. You're very stable already, or don't try that other thing, right? Why don't you just settle down, right? So I think for me, like what I have really learned is that you have to follow your inner voice and you have to be honest with yourself also. Like, for example, let's say if everyone told me that, Rahul, you're terrible as a creative director, right? I didn't have the result. My games were terrible. My films were terrible. Then I should have that self-reflection to look back and go, like, I'm not really good at this. I need to pivot, So there's that part too. Like, you have to be transparent with yourself, Because it's not just all candies and all great things. Like, I might want to become the best basketball player in the world. Can I become that? There's a mechanism to that, right? And that's through feedback. So I think I've learned how to identify my own strengths. I've learned how to see my blind spots and my weaknesses and kind of differentiate that, like what I bring to the table. And for the things that I'm not good, rely on other people. And know that I don't have all the answers. I think that's really important. Too many times people get stuck on a dream, which is really an image of what they want to be. Like, okay, I want to be an entrepreneur who is listed in the stock exchange or who has like a venture capitalist backing, with 5 million evaluation. For me, I mean, I'm not trying to judge anyone, but for me, all these are meaningless. I don't care if it's 5 million evaluation, 1 million. I don't care if I have a yacht, when I retire, and a big house, because those are things I can't predict. But what I care about is, like, really, am I doing the kind of work that I enjoy, And I think to get to that stage where you almost are very focused, but at the same time you're not affected, it requires a lot of work on yourself, I mean, for me, like, I do meditation, I mean, these are cliche stuff, but it has helped me a lot. Sports, like I said, I do jiu-jitsu. Like, when I'm having tough weeks, sometimes just going to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu class, sweating for 1.5 hours, socializing there, it makes me realize that there's a life beyond vertical slice. There's a life beyond what I'm doing, I have a dog that I care for, for the last 11 years, right? I take him out every day, go for treks with him. And these might seem like a tangent, but all of these things help me in my career, right? So the most important thing I've learned is, like, it's really important to have balance. And, it's also really important to kind of know that, you are human. You're gonna, like, sometimes go, like, push, why did this person say this to me? Or why am I not doing as well as this other person? And just letting that feeling be, like, we don't need to solve everything, like, tomorrow you wake up, like, sleep is the best medicine, You sleep, you wake up the next day, and you feel better, and then you restart. So I think when it comes to career and when it comes to a lifelong journey, like, my belief is you have one life and you need to live it in your own terms. But you also need to, like, have some self-reflection on what you are good at, what you're not good at, where can you, like, evolve? And I think a lot of people don't have that, and that's sometimes where they get stuck.
And I think you'll have an answer for this one because you're so thoughtful, Raul, about, the future. Like, what's next for you? What ideas are percolating for your future right now?
So it's very interesting. When I started Vertical Slice and I went full time into it, I mean, it's kind of a funny story if I can start with that and come back to your thing. So it was around April where, I quit my full time job, sorry, around February, right? And then in Singapore, I need to sponsor my own work visa, So I was adamant, like, no matter what happens, even if I get kicked out of Singapore, I am going to start Vertical Slice. That was, like, the risk I was willing to take, after staying more than 10 years in Singapore. So I started, like, looking up, like, where should I move? I started getting a 10-year Thai visa, looking at, like, Mumbai. And at that point of time, India-Pakistan war was about to start. So I'm like, oh shit, if I go there and war breaks out, So I'm just trying to take you through, like, what happens internally, right? Like, it's not the success. Everyone sees the success, And I was like, well, should I move to Malaysia? Should I move to Bali? What should I do? And then I was like, if I do go to Bali, will people take Vertical Slice as a serious company? Who goes to Bali and starts a company? It's like you're partying there. You're not really starting a company. And then I decided, okay, let's try to apply for my employment pass under my own company, Vertical Slice, because we had already been doing some business on the side. And we applied for it, and it got rejected by the Singapore government the first time, And then I was like, okay, this is a sign by, it's a sign that I need to move on from Singapore, as much as I love Singapore, right? But one of my friends said, why don't you just appeal, the decision? So I appealed, expecting to get rejected. And then I was already, like, planning my move to Thailand, and I was, like, looking at rental spaces and how I'll get my dog over and all of that. And then the pass got accepted in the appeal, So it was, like, quite a journey, right? But why I said that is because, like, it ties into a future. Like, I want to build, like, I always said that Vertical Slice, I want to build it to bring back this idea that craft is important. In the age of AI, right? Like, every organization I'm working with, worked with, they are getting a bit crazy about AI. And I think people are leaping way ahead of what is possible, they're like, oh, AI can do art, AI can do design, AI can do this thing. Now, some of it can do, but a lot of it is hype also. Can it do it to a level which a professional will do it? So my vision with Vertical Slice is almost where craft is as important as the technology. The technology is a tool, and the craft is important because it's the human touch that is always needed when you make something amazing, So what I'm looking at right now with Vertical Slice is really step by step to grow the company. And I'm working with it went from one person, me, and now we have four people working with me, you know. And I always have to remind them that don't forget our goal. Our goal is about the craft, you know. Our goal is about doing quality work. And we started with zero clients, and now we have five partners we are working, you know, across the globe. We have a partner in the US we are working with, in India we are working with, you know, a couple in Singapore, one in Hong Kong, you know, that I just visited. And I think, you know, so far, we are very particular about who we work with. We are not a vendor, we are a partner. So we try to come across as, you know, someone who has an equal footing. You know, we are specialists in our field. We are using game technology. We are using that game technology in outdoor immersive media, but we are also working with educational organizations like Hong Kong Poly U. You know, we are also working with you know, a lot of organizations who are looking into how do they bring, like, let's say, an IP like let's say Transformers to an you know, to different kind of outdoor experiences, right? So we are doing some really great creative work. My goal is we keep building those muscles. I see Vertical Slice as a child, and right now we are just kind of making that child grow bit by bit, you know. We are going like, oh, what are you good at, child? Okay, are you good at this? You know, are you good at this? So we are still finding our identity, you know. We are still finding that who Vertical Slice is, right? What do our partners really value in us? You know, what's the value we bring in with them? Instead of going like, oh, Vertical Slice is going to be this kind of a company. So it's almost a reverse kind of a thinking where, of course, our strengths kind of feed into it, but we are very careful. We don't say like, oh, Vertical Slice is another AI-driven company. No, Vertical Slice is a game company. That's why we say it's a creative boutique studio. It's really a child which is growing, which is working with partners. And we have had some great success working with partners and building those relationships. It's a lot of hard work. I mean, you know, to be very honest, we don't even have office space. Half the time I'm working from cafes or, you know, working from like different spaces, you know, from home. But even through that, it shows that even with minimum kind of support, you're still growing. You know, there's still things that you're doing. And my goal is in 1, 1.5 years, we find our identity. You know, we find like, how does that child become a teenager? And we find like, oh, okay, you're good in these three things, you know. Maybe those are immersive media development, those are educational products, you know. And then we start going deeper into it. But at the core of Vertical Slice, it's always going to remain about the craft first and everything else later. It's never going to be, you know, another outsourcing company. It's never going to be another, you know, quick cash company. Like, I'd rather fail than become that, you know, and that's something I'm very particular about.
I really appreciate how you are so persistent and so clear of what you want to achieve. And at the same time, giving yourself and the space due patience. You know how sometimes we want things so quickly right now? I want to figure things out like immediately in the next moment. And you just mentioned that giving yourself the time, like 1 year, 1.5 years, to really grow Vertical Slice into a teenager from a child. So I really appreciate you in sharing that. And maybe before we wrap up, maybe can I just ask you what would be one of the best career advice that you have been given, or one best career advice that you would like to share with our audience?
I would say, like, you know, for the audience, really don't think of your career as a linear progression, where, you know, everything is not going to be linear. If you see even how the market is, right? I have had friends recently who were in companies for 16 years, 17 years, and they got laid off, you know, because of all the issues happening globally. And they thought that was going to be their retirement job, you know. This has happened to many people. And what I strongly believe is that at the end of the day, you own your career, you know. Don't be so blinded by any company that you start thinking that that company is your family or that company, you know, owes you that career. You know, I don't believe in that. Same goes for Vertical Slice, right? Of course, you are good to people, you know, you work well, but I feel internally you should have that drive to always learn. Because if you always learn, if you always network, you know, you will always feel safe that, okay, you know, I have networked, I have learned, I'm looking forward. You know, I can see through the bad times. But The danger happens when we get too comfortable, you know. I think that's always where things creep up when we don't see it. So I've seen so many professionals now, after spending, you know, decades in an industry, thinking that they are going to be at that stage, you know, having to pivot careers. And it's not easy at all. You're having to learn new things. You're having to kind of, you know, save money all of a sudden. And that brings me to another point, save your money, you know. Vertical slice has, I could start vertical slice because I created a runway for myself, you know, that what if vertical slice doesn't earn money for the next, let's say, X amount of years? How am I going to sustain myself? It wasn't like I'm just going to drop everything and I'm going to, you know, go into vertical slice. So there's a lot of logical thought behind following your dreams too, which doesn't seem romantic, but, you know, like, do you have a runway? Are you saving money? You know, like, what's your runway? People say it should be 6 months. I feel 6 months is too short. You know, I feel it should be at least 2 years, you know, as a runway. Again, if you are doing like career switches and all, start planning 2 years ahead, because if you just plan within that moment, it's not going to work out the way you work out. You should always be thinking 2 years ahead, always be building relationships in the industry, always be promoting your own brand. I think these are very important. I think these are going to get more and more important in the era of technology we are going into. I think the days of just thinking that I'm graduating from a university or a school and my job is like guaranteed are gone. You know, that's not going to happen. I mean, the top percentile will probably still get it, but for everyone else, you know, you really have to like think long term and think of where your value add is.
Yeah, excellent points. You know, really create. I mean, you've created your own career and haven't relied on other people. And I really like how you're talking about building relationships and your network, because I can hear from you about how important that's been for you to make your transitions in career and build your career. So yeah, great points. Thank you for sharing those with us.
No problem.
Thank you, Rahul. I think it's been a really insightful sharing session with you. Thank you for taking time off to share this with us. We will be taking the next 2 weeks or so to process this audio, and then it will be up on our podcast as well as on Spotify, and then we will also share with you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Rahul,
Don.
and
See you.
I'll find time to have a coffee chat with you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay, have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.